The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. This Sunday, fourth Sunday of Easter, fourth Sunday of the Easter season. And I wanted to share with y'all a text message that I got yesterday afternoon. So I get these text messages every now and then. I got this text message from this dad who sent me a text. And you know when you get the text and it's got like a teeny little like image in there that you can't make out, and it's not really a picture, but I'm not good with the technology, right? But it's like, it's not really a picture, but it has like a push button, you know, where it's a video kind of thing. You know, in the front row, the little ones are like, yeah, we know that, right? So I got one of those, and the dad in the text said to me, and the text says, "You know what? My wife and I, we must be doing something right. We must be doing something right. Because we found our little four-year-old boy in his room, and you gotta see what he was doing." And so there was a little video, so it's like, oh, I gotta see this, right? And I sent it on, I forwarded it on to Aubrey, and Aubrey sent back a text. She says, "I'm crying, so beautiful." But it was a four-year-old boy. And the video, I really couldn't make it out because you click on it, it still stays small, but you can hear it, right? I don't know how to work the technology, but I could hear it. And it was like the dad, the father, probably with his wife over his shoulder looking in, and they're looking through the crack of the door of this four-year-old's bedroom. And I mean, he had a concert going on. And he was singing, "Glory! Glory to God in the highest." Everything we sang at the very beginning of math, I mean, he was just like rocking it out. I mean, the boy was like, and the dad was like, amazing. And it was so beautiful to see a father kind of rejoicing in his son and his child, a child of God. And then to see how all that we do here on Sunday and other moments where we gather as a community, they impact us and others. In our mind's eye, to see that father looking through, and we can have that image, father looking through the room and seeing his child, a child of God by virtue of the baptism, singing glory to God in the highest, praying and actually talking to Jesus when he finished. He went like, I think, two or three verses. I was like, man, that boy's got it down. Then he just started talking to Jesus, and it was like, dang. But imagine the excitement in that father's heart to see that. But imagine the excitement of our Heavenly Father right now with Jesus seated at his right, the Good Shepherd, showing him his glorious wounds, what he earned for us, and look at our Father and his Father looking through the doorway of eternity down to us, down to you and me. I don't know when maybe the last time you came into church, and hopefully you do it every Sunday you come in, to really just say, as you bless yourself, taking the holy water, which is a reminder of our baptism, and to say, man, I'm blessed. My Father sees me. My Father loves me. We have a good, good Father, and I'm coming to the Father's house. He sees us all the time. The Holy Spirit's with us. Our guardian angels accompany us. And we're all children of God. It's such a joy to be able to witness the first communicants. They're here. Children, yes, and we get excited. Yes, second grade, maybe third grade. But they're of that age, and they're going to receive Jesus for the first time, and their excitement, their joy, a joy that's contagious. Their parents and their godparents and their grandparents, who maybe flew in from all different directions, they're like, they're here, and they're like, this is an amazing moment. And what makes it so amazing is God wants to be so close to us, to accompany us in everything we do. We even have groups, and they're over there. I know they're over there because I talked to some of them. We have groups of our confirmation teams. They're in their last session for confirmation. We got like close to 180 that are getting confirmed. They're going to stand up, and their parents profess the faith at the baptismal font, and thank you, parents and godparents and sponsors and everybody who helped. But they're going to, in a few short weeks, going to stand up in what I like to call, because I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, the Catholic altar call, where we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. They're going to stand up and give their I do to the tears of their parents and godparents and grandparents and all that. And they're going to be witnesses. And yes, yes, they are children of God, but so are each one of us. You know how awesome it was to see some of our beloved seniors getting off their bus? They come every week from their independent living. They get off. And to see a senior who's wearing a hat that a senior who passed and went to eternal life gave it to him. And I said, that's a nice hat. And he said, I said that once to a parishioner of ours who's gone on to see to the Father's house, and his wife left it for me. He is a child of God too. We all are, independent of our age. The Father sees us through that doorway of eternity. And he's alongside his only begotten Son, our beloved Lord, who is and always will be that good shepherd, the gate to those eternal pastures. I don't know if any of you have really grown up around sheep or herds of sheep. I never did. I grew up in Atlanta. But I had the grace of living in Germany for 3 years in the army, and then Italy for 3 years in the seminary. And in both locations, there were fields where there were shepherds. And I remember just going out and just, you know, obviously they had their ATVs and they were arriving and riding, kind of going along. But just to watch, just sit there and marvel at how they would work. And there was always one sheep that had the bell, and the shepherd called that one, and clang, 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 and then they'd all just get in line and they'd follow, right? And they knew the voice of the shepherd and all that. So sometimes for us to understand the gospel of today, to understand what Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd, what did that mean to the people of the time? And why in Easter would we be flashing back to that moment in the ministry of Jesus? Why? And the main reason why is for them, they were trying to unpack the mystery of the crucifixion, of his death, and of his resurrection, scratching their head and going back, doing those flashbacks to say, well, he did say this, and he did keep his promise, he did come back. You see, for the shepherds in the time of Jesus, nobody traveled at night. You had to safeguard your sheep at night. You remember the story, Luke 24 in the gospel, the road to Emmaus? Jesus was willing, though they didn't recognize him, to keep walking. But the downcast disciples said, stay with us, Lord, for the sun is falling. Stay with us. Nobody travels at night. So Jesus came in, and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. So nobody traveled at night. So what did it mean that the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep? Literally what they would do when they're herding their sheep, they would find like a rock jetty or a cliff or something that was a backdrop, and they had these high walls or briars or whatever that kind of surrounded it, And usually there was a short little opening space that was there. And the good shepherd, shepherding sheep, would literally lay down with his staff as priests do for their ordination. They lay down on Good Friday. If you've ever been to Good Friday service, you see the priests and the deacons come in and lay down. The good shepherd would lay down on the ground with his staff to protect his sheep. So for anybody leaving the fold, they'd have to walk over his back. Isn't that what we do at times when we sin? We walk right over the back of the good shepherd. We step on his back. But he's the one who gets up and comes after us. I'll leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost. I'll battle it. I'll climb any mountain. I'll do anything I need to do to find you, to pick you up and bring you back to that fold. The good shepherd would also stand up and have a staff, and if the wolves came, he'd defend. What a beautiful image we've been given of a God who loves us. Jesus, who is one with his Father. Our Lord, who has poured out his Holy Spirit upon us by virtue of our baptism. The fullness of that through confirmation. And he gives himself to us as food for the journey to strengthen us. Man, what it is like to truly live fully alive as a child of God. That's what we are. That's what we are. You ready for the challenge? Everybody's like, huh? Father, it's a Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Mass. We're Catholics. We don't speak at Mass. Got a challenge for you. Got a challenge for you, for me, for all of us. Let's knock the rafters off this building. Let's let them hear us over at Poppy's having their bagels. What's going on over there at St. Gabriel's? We can do it in the stadiums when we cheer for our teams. We can do it when we go to events that are important, which is good. But let's get fired up and let the fire of the Holy Spirit inflame our heart with no fear, no worry about the person to my left or right or whatever, but let the Spirit lead us. And like that little child in his room, like these first communicants that are so excited, let's worship. Let's bring glory to God. You got your song sheets? Sing, not for me, but for Jesus. You got the responses? Bring it. The greatest response is in the doxology. Doxa in Greek means glory. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor and praise are yours forever. That's it, holding up in the consecration. And we give the great amen. We sing it, amen. Let's knock the rafters off. Again, not for me, but for Jesus. Let's bring our voices. Let's bring our hearts. Let's bring all we have and let's give everything we have to Jesus. We are children of God, and our Heavenly Father is looking through the doorway of eternity, seeing us, loving us, and cheering for us. Those are my children. They're going to bring your good news, son, to Charlotte. They're going to do it. Amen.